Good morning. Thanks for everything, for accepting this. And it's a great compliment, actually, following up about the neoliberal approach, kind of a nice theoretical basis for the data that I'm going to really get into, which is heavy in my presentation. So mine's on religion, poverty, and politics, and their effects on women, women's reproductive health rights and outcomes. I have no relationships to disclose. So I'll be looking at the fact that despite the policy changes and the neoliberal approach now that we've taken the last 20 years or so in the United States, look at what has happened with maternal child health, particularly infant mortality rates, abortion rates, and teen birth rates, and how they differ state to state. As we know, the federal government has a large purview of health, but states also implement policies to help with maternal child health. So I'm looking at some social determinants of health. There's two economic variables that I'll get into a little bit later, two political variables, and one variable called religiosity or religion. Just as a reminder, these are the social determinants of health. Remember that these do, in fact, and there's a large body of evidence in literature saying that the policy, that social determinants do affect policy and impacts health. Oftentimes, I think the approach is that policymakers in the short term make decisions and seek expeditious or individual solutions, as Nkasa was discussing, Stephen was discussing, to massive social problems. And these massive social problems really need collective and social responses. So I think any public health professional really can't help but to be a social justice advocate. We know that there are disparities and inequalities that exist in the United States and the rest of the world. And policymakers, especially this day and age, it seems like they're often distanced, removed, and even uninterested. I think some of that has to do with a lot of ways our political system is set up, like gerrymandering, for instance. When you're winning 70 or 80% of the vote, you don't really need to be worried about the next congressional race, for instance. As you know, I'm sure as public health professionals, you all know this, but I'm looking at cross-sectional data for 2008 just to kind of tell you the context of this. Infant mortality rate in the United States was 6.6. Best in the world was Japan, so we're about three times greater than the best. We're 34th in the world overall. And particularly for my research, I was looking at state data so that there are disparities among the states. This is the highest and the lowest rates in the United States, New Hampshire, and Mississippi is the worst at 10. So we're talking about 10 infant deaths per 1,000 births, so about 2.5 times more deaths in Mississippi than in New Hampshire, the lowest to the highest rates. This is a nice map of that. You can see that the southern states, little aberration here, and looks like South Dakota, and Delaware all have very high rates of infant mortality rate, but generally it's a southern southwestern issue. You can see New England up here and the West Coast are actually doing fairly well with infant mortality. Similarly with teen birth rates, much greater chance for a teen to give birth in the United States than in any of these countries, Russia, Canada, Germany, Switzerland, 10 times the amount in Switzerland. Again, disparities among states. Again, by no coincidence probably, the policies that exist in New Hampshire help reduce teen birth rates, 19.8, 65.7 in Mississippi, about a threefold increase. Again, we see that this is, again, a southern and southwestern border state type of problem. Abortion rates are also similar, although very unique because they are so political. In general, the United States was about 19.6 abortions per 1,000 women. International rates are much lower, except for the UK. It's about the same as the United States. And there are disparities, great disparities, a 40-fold decrease from highest to lowest. You have Wyoming, which has almost none. A lot of that has to do with provider issues, access issues, and limiting legislation that exists in the states, which are affected also, and I'll go into it a little bit more by politics and religiosity and some of the other social determinants. Here's our map. We can see that the areas where it's legalized, Northeast, you know, kind of moderate, New York has a very high rate as well as Delaware, but a lot of the mountain states and southern states have a very low rate, and again, that's because of limiting legislation. I also looked at two variables that have to do with economics in terms of the social determinants of health. Gini coefficients, the first one I looked at, it's a income disparity. As a reminder, one would be perfect inequality. That would be one person holding all the income for a population. Zero would be everyone has the same amount of income. Okay. We're 0.38 in the United States as a whole. That's the third highest income inequality of the 27 developed nations. And you can see some other kind of benchmarks there with Denmark and Norway and Chile. U.S. disparities. Alaska actually has the lowest income disparity, New York the highest. New York, Connecticut are kind of aberrations, the center for, you know, financial, New York City tends to pool a lot of the income for the rest of the state, so you tend to get a high Gini coefficient. Again, here's the Connecticut, New York, but the rest, for the most part, a lot of border states and southern states have high income disparities. The second economic social determinant I looked at was child poverty. Again, we're very high overall in the U.S. The lowest is Denmark in the world of the developed countries, and disparities among the states exist, of course. Again, New Hampshire, Mississippi, again, no probably coincidence here, 12% to 42% almost to child poverty, about 3.5-fold increase between those, differences between those. Again, border states. Southern states tend to be the ones with the highest. Okay. Religiosity is the final social determinant variable I looked at. This was from the Pew Forum in 2007-2008, their surveys. In general, the U.S. is more religious than almost any other developed country. Turkey is probably the highest. France is the lowest, and a lot tend to be closer to that 11% where France is as opposed to the 65% where Turkey is. Disparities exist. Again, I know it seems to be the same. I'm putting the same two states up, but I'm not. These are just happen to be the highest and lowest. New Hampshire is the lowest at 36%, and the highest is 82% in Mississippi. Again, you look at more of a southern, southwestern phenomenon in terms of high religiosity, where religion is very important. And my last variable that I looked at really was politics. I looked at two variables, kind of using Republicans and Democrats because it was easy to define, conservative versus progressive values. We talk about the New Deal. Of course, that was more of a Democratic type of idea. So I used the percent of Republicans in state congressional delegations. So the lowest in 2008 were Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, New Mexico, North Dakota. They all had 0%. All their congressmen, both House of Representatives and Senators, were all Democratic. That's basically what that is. Wyoming had the highest. All three of theirs, two senators and one congressman, were all Republican, so that would be 100%. So that's the variable I used. The second was simply red versus blue in the 2008 presidential election. That's, of course, when Obama won the first time, so we had more blue states than red states. And just to show that graphically, here's the overall presidential election results, 2008. Probably familiar with this. And the percent Republicans in state congressional delegations. You can see the redder states being the mountain and southern states. The coasts and the northeast, except for Maine, tend to be more Democratic. And just to, you know, kind of highlight the point that politics do make a difference, just think recently about the Texas legislative ban on abortion. They had two special legislative sessions. The first one was ended with a filibuster by Wendy Davis, where she had an 11-hour filibuster to prevent the abortion restrictions. That has gone ahead, and they're actually probably looking at a almost complete ban on abortion, at least for most centers. At least a third of the centers would be closed in Texas. So just how do states compare? I just wanted to show this and kind of highlight a few things. Again, we saw New Hampshire was number one in terms of the lowest infant mortality, teen birth, and a few other of the factors here. I wanted to put Massachusetts up just so we could put it in context. Pretty high in terms of ratings. Gini coefficients probably just because of Boston for the most part in terms of the high income here. Child poverty, it's pretty low. And this is a place, of course, that has near universal health coverage. And this is the result of that, I would argue. Mississippi, Texas, interesting. Of course, we saw Mississippi had the worst both outcomes in terms of infant mortality and teen birth. You can look at this either way. Fewer abortions could be a good thing, but when you have extremely high teen birth, I'm not sure that that's necessarily a good thing. And very high child poverty, very high religiosity. Utah's interesting because it has a very low infant mortality rate, high religiosity for the most part, and a high kind of red Republican state. So just, I look at correlations. Probably none of these are much of a surprise. Infant mortality rate with all the social determinants was significantly either on a medium or a large effect size correlated. Interesting to me was that abortion was actually not correlated very well at all with child poverty or with religiosity. I would have thought before I started this analysis that that would have kind of came out. Also that teen births are not related significantly to the Gini coefficient or income inequality. I just wanted to show these are the regression results. What I want you to get from this is not all the numbers, but just that infant mortality rate was associated with religion in 2008. For teen births, the second regression, child poverty and the election variables were significant. And for abortion, it was Gini and the election of 08. So just in terms of the interpretation, you know, basically what this is saying is that as religion scores increase by 1%, the infant mortality rate is predicted to increase by about 0.074, which is 1.1% at the mean. So from the highest from the least religious to the most religious states, that basically means about 2.2. And that explains about 52% of the variance between those high and low states. For teen births, as the child poverty rate increases by 1%, the teen birth rate is predicted to increase by 1.33. That was our coefficient. But that's about a 39.3 per thousand increase from the lowest to highest child poverty states. Also, voting red in the 2008 presidential election predicts a 7.4 per thousand increase in teen births. And I gave some examples, pulled out a few states for here, the highest and lowest and a middle one. In terms of abortion, those states voting red in the 2008 election, it predicted a 9.2 per thousand decrease in abortions, so voting red generally meant that you had fewer abortions. And as Gini increases in income disparity again, what we predict is a 14.6 per thousand increase in abortion rates from the lowest to highest, and those are some examples there. So in conclusion, what I'm really getting at is that greater child poverty rates are associated with higher teen birth rates. Greater income inequality is associated with higher teen birth rates and child poverty. In terms of political variables, the conservative red voting patterns are associated with higher teen birth rates and lower abortion rates. And then in terms of religiosity, it's associated with higher infant mortality rates in terms of the significance in the models that I ran. Just special thanks to my contributor for helping with the GIS maps. And I will end my talk. Thank you very much.